teach us how to pray. How do we do this? And so he began to teach them this famous prayer that we now use in most Sundays. And we've got to the point where last week it was lead us not into temptation, this week, but deliver us from evil. Kind of makes you wonder, really, what is evil and how do we avoid it? How do we respond to it? When it comes to evil, it seems to be that there are a number of different ways that some people respond to it. The first is they seem to respond by saying that evil does not exist. It does not happen. I do not see it. And therefore, it cannot exist. Because if it did exist, I would see it. So, for example, somebody might say that it doesn't happen because it doesn't happen in my world. So, for example, somebody might say human trafficking, it does not exist because I have not experienced it. I have not seen it for myself. Oh, but by the way, that car wash down the road, it ain't half cheap. You get such a good car wash for such a low amount of money. Or look at my nails. Look how cheap I got my nails done. But human trafficking doesn't exist. Or we might say, there's no such thing as racism in this country. Because I haven't experienced it. I don't go down the street and get stopped. I don't get have people look at me with suspicion. So therefore, it can't happen in this country because I don't experience it. Thing is, when we deny the existence of evil, we give fuel to evil because we allow it to go unchallenged and it takes on a life of its own. So if one response is to say that there is no evil because I don't see it, another response is to say that, well, there is evil everywhere. Have you come across people that seem to see evil under every stone and everything is down to the devil or some kind of evil force? Maybe you've watched a couple of God Channel type programs and that's kind of made you think, I wonder what really is going on there. Where they see everything down to the devil. It's not me, it's the devil that's made me do this. Or it's not them, it's the devil and so forth. Thing is, when we take that approach, we end up giving more fuel to evil. We give it more power than it actually warrants. And then there's a third one, which is that says to evil, stand back, I'm here. The great caped crusader is here to deal with evil. I alone have the power and authority to deal with it. That looks very demonic. I will sort it out. And so you have some people that take that kind of approach and they kind of revel in the fight and the imagery that goes with it, that somehow that they have to be the ones who are going to take control of it. The thing is, when we take that line, we kind of make ourselves the center of attention. Perhaps it's a little bit of an ego type thing. Jesus had three groups of people that he seemed to come up against, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Essenes. And it's almost as if all those three groups are represented in those. And so you get the Sadducees. Well, they say there is no such thing as evil. There's no such thing as an afterlife. And then you get the Essenes who say, avoid everything. There's evil everywhere. It's everywhere. Run for the hills. And then you get the Pharisees, almost like saying, stand back. They are the ones who have the authority and the power to take control of things. But of course, the reality is that evil is everywhere. You've only got to switch on your news channel or get your BuzzFeed or whatever it means that you get your news from to see that evil is everywhere, where there is economic exploitation in so many different shapes and forms, some very subtle, some very overt, where people are trafficked from one place to another. And we've heard of recent examples in just the last few weeks of lives lost through that experience. Where there is violence against vulnerable groups, where people are put to death and they are exploited violently so. Where there is war going on. So yes, we remember the great wars of the 20th century in terms of the First World War, the Second World War. But we remember also that today there are 37 separate conflicts going on around the world today, of which those 37 had at least 100 deaths each last year. There's more than 37 where there's much smaller numbers of deaths, but in terms of higher volume deaths, there are 37 conflicts at the moment going on around the world involving nations and people groups. where life is still being lost. Evil is at hand. And sometimes I don't have to convince people from outside the church, you don't have a Christian background, of the presence of evil. Because they see it, they experience it. Sometimes you've experienced it yourself or you've seen it in other people. It just seems to be an evil system or an evil power at work which corrupts and destroys lives. So we do live in a spiritual battle. There's a raging spiritual battle going on between good and evil. And you and I are caught up right in the midst of it. Why? Because we're humans. And Jesus comes to bring victory in order to overcome the principalities and powers, to end the power of sin, death, and disease. So yes, some people do speak vividly about demons and evils and devils and Satan and so forth. I'm a little hesitant to use that kind of language, if I'm honest, because I don't want to give fuel to its existence. If I talk in terms of the devil, Satan, in a very personal way, it's as if somehow I'm attributing power to that force, which I don't think it deserves. There is not an evil and opposite to God kind of scenario. Do you know, like the Rocky films? Or if you stayed up last night to watch KSI and the kind of boxing match that took place there, this idea that in the one corner you've got God, holy, pure, just, and in the other corner you've got the devil, evil, rotten to the core, and they slug it out, and there's punching going backwards and forwards, and then finally God lands that just extra long reach to defeat the devil. That's not how it works. God defeats evil in Jesus Christ like that. There is no contest. It's not a case that the evil is just a fractionally less powerful than God and so finally he's defeated. It's because God comes in Jesus Christ and through his death, Satan, evil, celebrates the death of Christ until resurrection comes. Bam! With resurrection, there is total victory, unanimous victory. The power of sin and death is broken. Evil is defeated. So that's why I don't feel quite so comfortable sometimes talking about devil and Satan and so forth, because it seems to give personality, as if somehow there's an equal and opposite. God is supreme. Evil is at work for sure, but it is defeated in Jesus Christ. And when we who are in Christ continue to serve Christ, we too play a part in the defeat of that evil. So we've been thinking about the Lord's Prayer, and it goes something like this. Our Father in heaven, blessed be your name. In other words, it all starts and ends with God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Whatever heaven is like, let it be here on earth now, right here, right now. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, help us to live sustainably with enough bread for us all. Don't let a few hoard it whilst others starve for it. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us when we screw things up, because for sure we do. Lead us not into temptation. Don't let us be duped into craving what is not good for us or what damages others. But deliver us from evil. Protect us. Protect me from evil. But maybe also, stop me from contributing to evil as well. Don't let me be part of the evil system that puts people down, that drags people. We all play a part. Human trafficking, we say, well, that, I don't have anything to do with that. It doesn't affect me. But actually, when we buy the services that use those who have been trafficked, we are complicit. We get drawn into that too. To pray, deliver us from evil, is not only to say, deliver me from it, but also don't let me be a contributor to it as well. And then on Remembrance Sunday, we come to this thinking about war. What part does war and conflict play within that? Well, as I've said already, Christians take a very different set of views to this. There are some who believe that war is a necessary evil sometimes. It is evil. I don't think anybody is suggesting it isn't. But sometimes it is a necessary evil in order to stop a greater evil from taking place. And that's why for some they talk about a just war. This idea that there is some occasions when war is actually justified, a just war. And we might go back to 12th century for Thomas Aquinas for his views on that, what makes up a just war. And we've got here on these plaques over here, the lists of names of people who were members, attenders at this church over the years, who have taken up the call to go and be part of a military action in different parts of the world. For some Christians, that's a justified response in order to go and serve their country that way or serve a cause. But there are other Christians who believe that war is never good, that there is no such justification for it. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where somebody is shouting at you? If you shout back at them, you don't stop them shouting. If somebody's shouting, the way to stop them shouting isn't to shout at them even louder. Sometimes it's to lower your voice. If somebody's in a violent situation, a domestic abuse situation at home, the way to overcome it isn't necessarily with violence. There's another way to it. And so Jesus had a lot to say about this. And when he began his teaching ministry, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." He doesn't say, "Blessed are those who are peacekeepers." He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Neither does he say, "For those who are the peace avoiders." He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And you and I are called to make peace with one another and with the world at large. It's important to say on Remembrance Sunday, when we talk about attitudes to war, what I'm not saying is that therefore those who have served in the past have done anything other than follow an honourable course of action. But we want to be in a place where actually people don't have to go to war in the first place, to see, is there a better way to avoid it in the first place? And Jesus had some really powerful things to say. He said this, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." Over the years, that teaching has been assumed to suggest that to be a Christian and follow this teaching of Jesus somehow is not to keep up with the real world. It's all very well saying turn the other cheek, but actually don't you know the reality of what life is like? And sometimes you have to do things in order to stop an evil taking place. And simply turning the other cheek, well, that just seems like an attitude to kind of surrender. And didn't Jesus say, "Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peace avoiders"? And it leaves us sometimes with this idea that I want to follow Jesus, but actually, Jesus, I don't think your teaching actually works in the real world because of this situation or that particular conflict. And it leaves us a bit torn between the two. But in fact, what Jesus was saying was so radical and so defiant against the powers of evil. Remember that he was living at a time where they were under military occupation. The Roman army, the world's greatest military superpower, had stormed in, conquered the land, taken control of people's resources and freedoms. They were living under enemy occupation. Jesus is not saying, roll over, don't resist. What he's actually saying is, stand up. Be defiant against the forces of evil, but don't sink to their level by trying to use violence to stop violence. Don't simply shout louder when somebody else is shouting at you. Resist them. And this is what he meant. In that particular Roman culture, you would have a situation of where individuals will be treated with honour between who are considered to be equals. So you would have Romans who might treat one another respectfully by boxing, for example. So you would box with somebody who was your equal. That was seen as a very noble thing to do. But to your slave, still seems strange, isn't it? Slave, you don't treat them as your equal. You treat them, to be brutal, like your Hoover. like a tool, because they're not human. And so what you would do there is you would use your back hand to slap. And what Jesus is saying is this: if somebody comes and punches you, don't roll over, stand up to them. Turn the other cheek, and what you're saying there is, punch me. Don't slap me, punch me. What you're saying there is, don't treat me like I'm some kind of piece of dirt. I am your equal. When you, Roman soldier, come and punch me, I will stand up to you. Punch me, punch me. Treat me like your equal. And then he says, if somebody comes and takes your garment and then sues you for it, well, take the rest of your stuff. In other words, go butt naked, because you're going to bring such shame on the person that's taking you to court. Can you imagine taking somebody to court, so much so that you're prepared to see them go completely starkers because you've sued every bit of clothing off them? If you came out of court in that situation, nobody's going to be thinking you're a good person. They're going to be thinking you have done some wickedly evil thing. So Jesus says, if somebody takes your cloak, well then, and they sue you for it, just go completely starkers. Right, you want that? You can have all of it. Have absolutely everything. Excuse me, it's all coming off. In order to make a point, stand up to your oppressor. If a Roman soldier, a military group comes marching along and they say, right, you're going to carry my bag and you're going to carry it for a mile. Don't just carry it for a mile. Carry it for two. Make that soldier feel that small. That soldier thought they were going to show power to you by making you carry their bag, their pack. You can't even carry your own pack for a mile. Look, I'm going to carry it for 2 miles. I'll tell you what, I'll do it for 3 miles. Do you see what's happening? When somebody oppresses you, stand up to them. But don't sink to their level by using violence like they have done. You are better than that. So the idea that Jesus simply says, roll over, let them slap you around the place, and as if that's some kind of way, that's not, it's a complete distortion of what Jesus was saying. Stand up to evil. Resist it. In the 1980s, with the deployment of nuclear missiles from American bases around the UK, there would be military convoys that would go out from the American military missile bases on exercises around the UK to practice what would happen when they deployed their nuclear weapons. And there'd be a massive convoy of trucks, missile launchers, and all sorts of things. Peace campaigners found a way to stop all these heavily armoured convoys. And they didn't use violence. They used a potato. A single jacket potato. And what they learned to do was to wait in the bushes, and as the convoy would come down the country lane, they would jump out, clamber onto the first truck, and the truck would have its exhaust pipe going up the top, and they would drop the big jacket potato down the exhaust pipe, and it would clog up the engine, bringing to a halt an entire heavily armoured convoy of nuclear missiles. Resist evil, but don't sink to their level. Stand up to evil, but don't resort with violence. And Jesus does that, not only as a theory, he does it throughout his life. And he even does it to the point of his death. He goes to the grave according to his principles. So when Jesus is arrested, he surrenders to them. And when he's put up and before court, he doesn't try to fight back. This is the King of Kings. This is God himself allowing himself to be nailed to a cross. Not using violence. It is finished. And he's dead. Evil rejoices. Evil is so excited because evil thinks it has won. God has died in Jesus. But hold on. What is this? 3 days later, bam, resurrection. You thought you had won. No, no. The final victory is the resurrection. Jesus Christ comes back to life again. The way of sacrifice, of non-violence, the way of peace has triumphed. And here we are 2,000 years later singing his praise. And who remembers who the Roman army generals were? Who remembers the detail of those people? But we're celebrating Jesus, who lived, died, and rose again to defeat the power of sin, death, and evil. That's what he seeks to bring. And Paul comes, we'll end with this. Paul simply says this in Ephesians: our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's the struggle you and I are engaged in. Not against individuals, not against soldiers, even those in opposing armies, but against the powers, structural forces, authorities, rulers of this world. And we do so in the Jesus way, which is laying down our lives if necessary, in order to bring a greater good and victory. So yes, we remember today those who have lost their lives, and we honour them and we respect them. But we also say, God, please, don't let us have to be in that situation again. There has to be a better way. Let's pray, and then we'll close with a final song.